2016, and the brand Solid Sport was born with a vision of creating this sports streaming platform for sports at all levels. Because, I mean, one of the main reasons behind Solid Sport was that historically it's been very hard and very expensive to broadcast sports. That was the problem this company was meant to solve. We built started by building our own app and making it possible for basically every single team and club out there to do a production with their smartphone and at the same time generate revenue from the stream.
This is the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast, showcasing outstanding startups and initiatives in the global sports tech ecosystem. From Sports Tech X, the leading source for data and insights about sports tech, here is your host, Roan Malhotra.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast. We're going to continue our month of focusing on our recently published Global Sports Tech Ecosystem Report. If you haven't downloaded it yet, please do that. You'll see our first attempt at compiling all the data from various regions that we usually look at individually, North America, Europe, and Asia Pacific. We put that all into one report. I just felt this time that it was good to see them side by side, see all the development, see the trends globally, and also present some really cool companies from all different parts of the world. And I've got one such cool company with me on the podcast today. I've got Andreas Westerlind, who's the Chief Commercial Officer at Solid Sport. Solid Sport is a sports streaming platform from Stockholm, Sweden. Welcome to the show, Andreas.
Thank you very much. Great to be here. Thank you for the invitation and look forward to talk to you.
Yeah, no worries at all. First, before I get into what exactly Solid Sport is, I'm always curious to know who the person is that I'm talking to. So why don't you introduce yourself to our audience? What is your background and what led you to joining the Solid Sport team?
As you said, Andreas is my name, and started actually as a journalist a couple of years back. Worked as a journalist here in Sweden for a couple of years before I realized that I was meant to do something else, so became a marketing director at another media company here in Sweden. And then, I mean, I'm a huge fan of sports, and I guess that's how I soon ended up at Solid Sport in 2019, then as the marketing director, and has just done work here. First of all, building the marketing team here, but now I have, as you said, the position as the chief commercial officer. So I work with, like, not only marketing, but I mean, all full sales organization and building the strategies on how we want to build this company both here and in the future.
In fact, I think I read somewhere on your profile that you started as a journalist in hockey. Is that correct?
Yeah.
In Sweden? Yeah, it was on your LinkedIn.
Yeah, it's correct. And I mean, hockey is a really big sport in Sweden, and it's a big interest of mine as well. And I still I'm a huge fan of ice hockey, and that was how it all started. And I work with all sports except hockey, I would say, in not big of a scale. But we have a couple of hockey events, but it's much more handball and basketball these days. But yeah, that's how it started.
I think the first time I went for my main introduction, I mean, you see ice hockey on TV and stuff, and I never really got it because on TV it's too much going on. You never see the puck. But my first live hockey game, I watched the New York Rangers at MSG, and really got into it. I think there was something about the atmosphere of Madison Square Garden or whatever, but the sport itself was really interesting. And since then, I've gone to watch the Eisbaden in Berlin, the Berlin hockey team, a few times in the arena. And it's a fun sport. It's a fun sport. Yeah. It's something that I enjoy watching live now. I'm still not into it on TV, but at least in stadium, in the arena, it's fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of action. I played actually ice hockey myself, not on that level, of course, but I mean, you can pick a worse spot than Madison Square Garden and New York Rangers to watch ice hockey, of course. So I'm happy for you.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. Wasn't too bad. All right, so now let's get Solid Sports. So this is a streaming platform. You do production for leagues, federations, events, all of that stuff. So talk us through the journey of the company. How old is it? What was the intention with which you guys started, and where are you today?
Yeah, I mean, we actually have a quite long history. I would say the company started with streaming very early in 2008, 2009. That moment, under the name Solid Tango, was a B2B platform, actually, used by several big organizations and media houses and companies here in Sweden that still uses it somehow today. That's how it started, building a streaming platform B2B for companies here in Sweden. But during the way and during this journey, the company realized there was a lot of interest in sports, and a lot of sports organization reached out to us looking for a platform to stream. And that's how it all started. And 2016, and the brand Solid Sport was born with a vision of creating this sports streaming platform for sports at all levels. Because I mean, one of the main reasons behind Solid Sport was that historically it's been very hard and very expensive to broadcast sports. That was the problem this company was meant to solve by making it easy and making it very cost efficient to do so. And we started by building our own app and making it possible for basically every single team and club out there to do a production with their smartphone and at the same time generate revenue from the stream. So that was the whole idea from the beginning. And then we partnered up with multiple federations here in Sweden, building their sports streaming platforms, basically from grassroots level up to the highest leagues and second highest leagues. So, and then we have scaled that idea out in the Europe, I would say. And today we have reached several milestones. We have over 1.5 million users in our platform consuming content, and we have today over 5,000 teams and clubs out there using the platform to stream their games and generate revenue from it. So, and this is what it's all about, making it possible for not only team sports, but all sports out there to have a place to broadcast and enable their action live.
This is a trend that we've been seeing increasingly, at least over the last maybe 12, 18 months, that a lot of media production, automated streaming, media production solutions have raised a lot of investment. So, as you said, allowing every sport to find their audience, find their voice, however big or small they are, is something that the market is waking up to increasingly. You guys seem to focus on handball, basketball, let's say in Northern Europe. I've seen the markets, at least on the website. You cover Germany, Finland, obviously some of the Nordic countries. Are those your main markets, or are you looking to expand beyond, let's say, Scandinavia and Northern Europe?
I mean, as you said, we have offices now in Helsinki, Finland, main headquarters here in Stockholm, Sweden, but also office in Hamburg, Germany since 2021. And that's our main markets, of course. And in Germany, we also cover Austria and Switzerland, the DACH market, basically. And of course, there is a global vision, a global goal for this company. And we have, of course, partnerships and events in other countries since we basically can scale from whatever country we are in. So, but that's their main focus right now. And I mean, you mentioned AI, and I would say one thing that makes us a bit unique is that we basically offer a platform that customized for the need of the customer. So, I mean, if you have an AI solution or if you want an AI solution, we can support with that. Or if you want to do a 6-camera production for your really premium game, we can support with that. And or if you are doing a local production for your youth team, you can use our mobile app and do a production like that. So I think that's what we do. We customize the solution for the customer's needs and the sports organization's needs of it.
And is this purely software, or do you have a hardware application as well? Do you have any sort of camera setting, or you, as you said, work with any setup that the rights holder has?
Yeah, I mean, we provide mobile apps and, of course, the streaming platform and our own servers. But when it comes to that, no, we're not developing an AI camera ourselves, but we're partnering set up with those players. And we make sure to listen to what our partners are looking for and make sure we can support them with that, finding the best solution.
Understood. Walk me through some successes. I can, again, from what I can see, you're working with the the German Handball League, the in Austria with basketball teams in Sweden, also with Malmö in Sweden. So what, maybe talk about a couple of use cases where you've seen good uptake, good numbers through your client base.
Yeah, I mean, there are, of course, a lot of success stories out there, but take a couple of them and a couple of different ones. We can start with Swedish Handball, as I mentioned, one of our oldest partners and also, I would say, a flagship in what we're aiming to do. And we work with them since 2018. And today we have over 20,000 handball games streamed every year, from basically grassroots up to the second highest leagues. But that, I mean, what I would say is the vision when we work with a federation to basically go top to bottom or bottom to top and make sure every single club has the opportunity to stream their games. And I will also say that a key in our business model is that they also make revenue from it. It's not only just for streaming. These clubs is generating important revenue as well. Since we started, we've generated over 8 million euro to the clubs. That's also an important thing to mention, that not only are we enabling them to share the games for everyone who can't be there in the arenas, you also create a really good and important revenue for the clubs. And that is one case. But I mean, you're mentioning Malmö, and yeah, they, of course, a whole type, a different type of customer. It's a big club in Sweden, and their games are, of course, broadcast on national television, but they're still looking for also the opportunity to create their own OTT and a custom solution for their club. So we have provided them the MFF Play Premium, which is their own channel for their fans. We call it the Club TV solution. So there they can provide their fans with exclusive content and combine free content with paid content and put it all under their own subscription. They've been very successful doing so, and today they're investing a lot in this. And along the way, we work with them. They have extended this with broadcasting their preseason games. And the last couple of years, they also done the European games, the qualification games in Champions League, Europa League, etc. So they have come far there, and we see a lot of clubs looking at their solution at the moment. So I would say that's also the fun part of working with Solid Sport. You can one day work with these youth tournaments, and the next day you help Malmö with this type of premium stuff. So but I mentioned events, so I can give you some examples there as well. When we work with these youth tournaments, that's also a whole other setup. I mean, take Helsinki Cup this summer, for example, in Finland, where we will support the organizer of broadcasting from 90 fields at the same time over, I think it is 5,000 games in a week. That's basically also something unique, I would say, that we can do together with organizers. And it's a huge project. We did that in Vienna as well with Basketball Vienna from 40 courts at the same time. We did with our DAC office. And we have around 300 tournaments around Europe where we help them basically enable all those games, those thousands of games from so many courts. But it's a huge service for those who can't be there, all the parents and all the friends, and actually also the players when they're going home and want to see the replays.
Yeah, of course. I mean, apart from all the elite leagues and teams that you will support, there is a much wider audience at grassroots, youth, amateur sport, which, as I said earlier, needs to find its audience. And there are people who are interested to watch either the full game or at least the highlights packages that that go out socially. You mentioned you do all of this across Europe. And I think I asked about countries and markets earlier. But just to be clear, are there any markets outside of Europe that you look at? Any places that your products have been deployed? Just in case there are listeners from anywhere else in the world that might find the Solid Sport solution interesting.
Yeah, I mean, of course, as I said, it's a global vision for the company. But right now, we are focusing on the countries we're in. And we'll continue doing so for now. But of course, we're looking at other countries as well. But for now, that's the main focus. But I mean, there are huge opportunities out there in so many different countries. And I would say that the Nordic countries is somehow taking lead in some regards when it comes to these type of technical solutions. And basically, when we look at Sweden and comparing that with Germany, for example, we see that In Sweden and in Finland, they are coming very far when it comes to streaming on all type of levels. So we see a lot of opportunities out there, of course, and we will see where Solid Sport goes next. But I mean, the platform is open for everyone, so we get requests from all over there.
And it's these opportunities that I want to talk about. And I mean, when it comes to sports streaming right now, you have to mention the entrance of all the big tech, right? Which is suddenly looking at streaming in a much more serious way, whether it's Apple buying a 10-year, signing a 10-year contract with the MLS, the Amazon entering the fray with, I mean, okay, they're still elite, operating in the elite of elite sports, which is taking the Premier League to different parts of the world, or like I said, the MLS or the NFL or the NBA. But do you see that entrance of Amazon, Apple, Facebook, Google with YouTube buying rights in different parts of the world? How does that affect the way you think about business? Or does it affect it at all? Or do you think that creates a wider market opportunity? How does Solid Sport view sports streaming as an opportunity today?
I would say that, I mean, those brands you mentioned, I would say YouTube, for example, has helped us a lot. And they are somehow educating the markets in streaming, and we can then come in and just help them do it their own. Because I would say that's the number one thing. Why? I mean, most of our partners has from the beginning maybe have done the broadcast on YouTube or Facebook or Twitch, for example. But then they are looking for, they want to build it themselves. They want to build it under their own brand. And that's what where we can come in and help them take the next level. And for a federation, for example, gathering it under one platform instead of having thousands of teams using Facebook or Instagram or Twitch or YouTube, we can somehow gather that sport under one umbrella and create it in their own brand instead. I would say that, no, we don't see them as a competitor, quite the opposite. And I would say the competition is, I mean, on the top of everything. I mean, the premium rights, the biggest deals, and that's not where Solid Sport is about to compete. We're focusing on the other 95%, basically.
Sure. And it's, of course, I understand that you're operating in different fields. It's just that with this entrant setting the tone at the top of the market, as you said, I think that conversation comes down all the way through, that more and more leagues and federations are understanding the value of their own rights and that they have their own audience that they can reach. And that's where, I guess, solutions like yours can come in.
Stay up to date with all things sports tech and sign up for our newsletter. You'll get a monthly breakdown of the most important developments in the global sports tech ecosystem, paired with exclusive interviews with industry leaders. Get all of this and more delivered directly to your inbox. Sign up today at sportstechx.com.
What have been some of the challenges that you have faced? Do you still feel that there is an education layer that you need to talk to these federations and really tell them that, hey, you have a global audience that you can reach? Or is it that they get it, but they don't have the infrastructure to support? Or like, what are the issues when you talk about new customers and new deployments?
I would say that you're somehow onto it. It's, of course, a lot of educating the market where we go in. I mean, we've seen it in Germany now, and now we're starting to see that market, it's also getting to open up for us. But it's a lot of like educating them, make them understand their possibilities. And I would say that it's not all of them understanding the possibilities of doing broadcasts on lower levels and grassroots levels. And that's what it's all about in the beginning, educating the market. So I would say that's a learning, but something we also see it's something we will need to be better and better at for next challenges. But yeah, that's definitely one thing. And also, I mean, somehow it's a lot of people out there loving technology, but I mean, in some cases, they also fear technology, even though how simple it is. It's a lot of clubs and teams and sports organizations out there that still is a bit fear of it. So that's also something we need to educate them in that as well to understand the possibilities with technology. But yeah, I would say that's two challenges we have learned a lot from the last couple of years. And of course, the pandemic itself was a challenge and also an opportunity at the same way. It was two very special years.
Yeah, I was just going to come to that, actually, that we've seen this uptick. I mean, obviously, through our content as an aggregator, as a market research company, we keep talking about, at least pre-pandemic, there was a lot of growth and investment in sports. But since the pandemic, in the last 2 years, we've seen it just go up. Like, sports teams are clearly realizing that they need to embrace technology, embrace different formats of solutions, and be more adaptable, which technology can give them, rather than being the traditional business, whether it's in broadcasting, whether it's in commercial or merchandising, ticketing, whatever avenue that they are operating in. And I think the first one is literally broadcasting. It's almost about taking your product and reaching that wide audience. And then once you have that wide audience, then finding different ways and different layers that you can engage them with, through.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I just remember before the pandemic where we basically needed to convince the clubs and teams understanding why should I stream the game, who wants to watch our games, who wants to pay for our game. Then the pandemic came and we were shocked basically by getting like from convincing teams, calling teams, to suddenly we got 400 teams every week coming to us asking to stream. And of course, that was because you couldn't have any audience in the games. But even, I mean, after that, it was still a huge interest in streaming. And as you said, I mean, since the pandemic, now everyone somehow realized the potential of it and we can execute on that.
Another question about the model that you operate in. Once you sign a contract with, let's say, the German Handball League or in Sweden or wherever it is, are the leagues interested in primarily broadcasting for free? So they monetize, as you were talking about earlier, 8 million in revenue is mainly through advertisers. Or are you now seeing an interest in DTC, in direct-to-consumer subscription-based streaming? Is that on the rise or is the conversation still more free-to-air and we go through advertisers?
Yeah, I mean, if we take those 60,000 games we have in Sweden, I'd say 95% of them are with paywall subscription.
Okay.
Of course, there is also partners seeking for a best solution where they can stream without paywall, and then we find a good solution for that as well. But I would say the majority, as we see, is they're somehow financing this whole service by charging for it. And some is going the other direction and doing it for free with an advertising solution behind it instead. And I will say that as I said before, we adapt for what they're looking for, basically, and find a model for that. And it's also dependable if you go with a solid sports standard solution where we don't have a white label solution, or if you choose the premium way where you want the white label solution. It's a bit different in the pricing models, of course. But and we somehow are both a B2B company and a B2C company, since we're working both with the partners who are the broadcasting and content creators. And then, of course, I mean, the end consumer is the viewers. So we also need to take care of them and make sure they're happy. And I mean, we have we have 100,000 of handball viewers in Sweden we can always communicate with. We can engage with them and inform them about the next thing on handball play in Sweden, for example, and we can do the same with figure skating in Finland, for example. So it's, as I said, both B2B and B2C for us.
I actually find that quite interesting that it's 95 and 5. Like most of the leagues that you're working with are working already on a direct-to-consumer subscription-based model, because even this is a conversation at the highest leagues. Most of them have operated through broadcaster licensing and advertiser-based models. But increasingly, they're realizing that maybe the direct connection with consumers over the long run will be more beneficial to them. And maybe these smaller leagues have already taken, let's say, a step ahead in that game.
Yeah, and as I said, we have that type of request as well, that they would like to go with a fast solution instead. And of course, then we adapt to that. And in some cases, you combine them, that you both have a paid solution, but you combine it with advertisement and sponsorship packages, for example, to create that type of revenue as well. But yeah, I still, what we see in the Nordics especially, it's that the majority is with paywall. We so far in Germany, that's been the case as well. But of course, we have the other opportunity as well.
Yeah, Andreas just mentioned FAST, which is, I believe, free ad-supported telecast. That's, again, part of this conversation. Because the streaming conversation, I've been listening to it a lot on either content I consume or in content that we create or startups that we work with. It's a really interesting moment, I think, in sports streaming. You've got big tech on one side. You've got this whole direct-to-consumer versus FAST or subscription versus FAST model on another side. You've got how smaller leagues are operating in new markets. It's a really interesting moment, I think, for the next, say, 3 to 5 years, or for the last 2 years to the next maybe 2-3 years, about how sports streaming will develop and really drive the conversation about reaching new audiences.
Yeah, and so much things happening all the time, and the technology.
With AI and computer vision, yeah, and all the other stuff thrown in. Yeah,
and then with ChatGPT as well, it's things happening all the time that we and all other players out there really can. We need to handle it and also make the best of it. But there's, I would say, this is just the start.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think the reason for people like you and me will believe that it's just the start is that the audience is there. There is an audience for whatever sport, whether it's small, big, regional, well-organized, or just a bunch of kids, or you know, grassroots sport. There is an audience for different types of sports. Where there is an audience, it is, I guess, an opportunity to bring the game to them. And that is what solid sport will have to do.
And I think that's the strange when you go down to, you can call it amateur sport or grassroots sport, that, I mean, the engagement around that sport could in some cases actually be bigger than on the top level, because, I mean, who doesn't want to watch their kid, or who doesn't want to support that local team where you have some kind of commitment to? And that's what we see. I mean, we have some youth tournaments, for example, that you get amazed by the engagement and how many people that really wants to watch their kids on a tournament. And the same when you go to any specific amateur game. I mean, it's always someone who wants to watch those games, because that's in some cases more important than to watch their team in the highest league, for example.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So what next? Let's talk about the future. What is Solid Sport looking at for the next 6, 12, 18 months? What's in the pipeline?
I would say that, I mean, we've done some important partnerships in AI. And of course, that's something that's really bubbling out there to find a good setup for AI. And I think that's what we will see even more from our perspective as well, to help our partners find good solutions in that. And
sorry, just on that, in what way are you looking to incorporate AI into your solution?
Basically, to have good partnerships so we can offer that solutions directly to our partners. That's what we're aiming for, and already have some important partnerships in place. So that's something we will continue doing. So and from our end, like product development wise, we continue on like extending how we work with integrations, for example. So we can actually take a grassroots level game broadcasted with a phone or some easy equipment. We want it to be optimized, so you can get all the graphics and all of that directly into that broadcast. So that's something we're also working a lot with at the moment. And of course, I mean, we need to still continue educating our different markets and get more on board. That's still the main focus on all markets.
Yeah, so better features, more useful
products. Everyone says, I guess. more features and more development and more innovation.
New customers, all of that good stuff. Yeah. Right. Well, fair. That's what you're here for, to put that message out, Andreas. And I guess if anybody wants to reach you, they can reach you via email or on LinkedIn. What's the best way to get in touch?
Yeah, as you said, email and LinkedIn. I'm all over that. So please reach out.
Yeah, we will drop those links in the show notes, I'm sure. All right, Andreas, that brings me neatly to the last question, my favorite one to ask. I always believe we are sports fans first, so I always want to know from my guest what has been your favorite sporting moment, either one that you consumed as a fan or maybe even participated in as an athlete yourself. I can't wait to hear.
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, I mean, I'm a huge ice hockey fan, as I mentioned. So when my team, Modo, basically won the championship is, of course, something I remember, as even though it's like 10 years now or even more. But that's something I remember a lot.
Which year was it?
This was 2007. As you say, they went down to the second league, but actually this year they went up again. So I would say that's my number two on the list this year when they went up again. But I mean, I would also say the first time I'm in my current position when we went to the youth championships of handball in Sweden. We were going to cover the youth championships here in Sweden, and I went there to support in the arenas. I was shocked by that. It was a full arena for like boys 14, girls 14 game, and it was packed. It was such a huge interest, and that really shocked me. But it was it was just a fantastic moment, I would say, to realize, whoa, how many people it was to just watch the youth championships. But then you realize also the engagement, as I said, around the youth.
And the power that it has. And Andres, that's what we're trying to do, bring this amazing sport in new and interesting ways to a wider audience. Fantastic. We don't get too many ice hockey moments on our show, so I'm glad you could bring that. It has been an absolute pleasure speaking with you, Andreas, and we'll keep an eye out for Solid Sport and see all the cool stuff that you guys get up to.
Yeah, thank you very much for letting me participate. I look forward to well, hopefully I'll be here once more. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. We'd love to have you back. As I said at the top of the episode, if you would like to know more about Solid Sport, we actually featured them in our recently published Global Sports Tech Ecosystem Report. We probably have the webinar coming up as well. Stay tuned on our social channels where Kim Lee will post details about, I think we have one coming up next week where I will summarize the outcomes of the report in case you don't want to read a 50-page PDF and you just have to prefer to put a hour-long podcast on in the background or something like that, we have that coming for you as well. All right, so stay tuned for that report and for the webinar, and get in touch with Andreas if you have any streaming requirements coming out of Europe and maybe anywhere in the world, who knows. All right, guys, that is a wrap for another episode. We'll see you guys next week. Ciao.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast with Rohan Malhotra. If you like our show, let us know and leave a review. And if you want to know more about us, check out sportstechx.com, where you can find our latest industry reports and updates. For a deeper dive into all things sports tech, check out our comprehensive database, SportsTechDB, at sportstechdb.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media. You can find us at SportsTechX on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Join us next time for another insightful conversation with a leader in sports tech.